the Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
You can put it on the board.
Woo!
All right, welcome back for another episode of Midwest Swing. You can find us on Twitter at Midwest Swing Pod. We're part of the Cold Omaha Podcast Network. You can find Cold Omaha and Zone Coverage on Twitter at Zone Coverage MN. I am your host, Brandon Warren, and you can find me on Twitter at Brandon _ Warren. We have a very special show for you today, as the Twins have announced that on Saturday, I shouldn't say the Twins have announced, but it has been confirmed through back channels that the Twins will bring up for tomorrow for the doubleheader a starter from Chattanooga named Felix Jorge. Felix is on the 40-man roster and will be making his big league debut. He's having a fairly good season in Chattanooga. And on the horn with me today is Chris Blessing of BaseballHQ.com, who is obviously very familiar with Chattanooga types. You've also heard him on this show before. But before we get down to the brass tacks, Chris, how's it going?
Going well. Nice, rainy, cloudy Georgia day.
Yeah, it's kind of doing that here in Minnesota as well. You know, obviously you're my go-to guy as far as Chattanooga stuff is involved, and so when I find out that they're bringing someone up from Chattanooga, you are who I hone in on first. Then I saw also a tweet from you expressing your pleasure that he's going to be called up. First and foremost, you know, when did you become aware of Felix Jorge, and by pleasure of him coming up, what does that mean for you?
Well, first off, my pleasure is I always get excited when somebody I've watched gets called up. Felix Jorge, I haven't gotten to know him. I've gotten to know a few pitchers in Chattanooga through the years. He's very quiet from what I've observed and stuff, but he's very, very polite, very kind guy. And there's always a warm spot in your heart for polite guys. One of the things, I think it was 2014, was the first time I saw Felix Jorge pitch. As a member of the Elizabethton Twins. Mm-hmm. He started a game against the Johnson City Cardinals, and he was the best pitcher that I saw during my three-game look of the Appalachian League that year. Not much projection there. He was a pitcher that's pretty much what he is right now. He throws 88 to 92 on most days. He can get it up to 94. I've heard 95. I haven't seen 95, but I've seen 94 a time or two. He's a cross-armed pitcher, and that's what he's kind of been this whole time. Essentially, if you're watching a guy and they're not stepping to home plate, they have a little longer progression to get the ball to the target, and that's when we're talking about cross-armed guys, that's what we're talking about. And at that time, he really only had one off-speed pitch, and that was the changeup. And he threw it a lot. He threw it to righty and lefties, which he still does today. At that time, his changeup was a very successful pitch. It's gotten better as he's moved up the chain.
So I've heard body comparisons to Irvin Santana, maybe not necessarily stuff, but does he look similar body-wise to you in that respect?
Yeah, he's very slim. He's gotten a lot stronger over the last 3 years. You can see the added muscle mainly in his legs. Still up top, he's very, very slim. And physically, yes, he looks like Irvin Santana. The stuff is not Irvin Santana.
Do you think there's a path for him to stick in the big leagues at some point this season? I know this is just a 26th man situation, but do you get the feeling that he could impress enough on them in one start to get a longer look a little later on?
I was talking to a scout this weekend, and I mentioned, you know, I had seen Jorge pitch three times this year, twice last year, once in 2014, and he's thrown the ball the best that he's thrown. I thought that he's ready for AAA. Mm-hmm. There's still some things that he needs to work on. Specifically, it's I think he would be too hittable in the major leagues right now. Over a time, there's the surprise factor that's going to happen on Saturday, and there's a surprise factor if he makes another start or two sometime around during the season. The thing is he, for instance, this last week facing Pensacola, which Pensacola is a very toolsy team, and they're not necessarily a good barometer of how a major league team would face him. But the biggest hitter in that lineup is former first round pick Nick Senzel.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick essentially hit what Jorge gave him. He didn't have necessarily a good game against him, but that was his game plan. And that was kind of the game plan in Pensacola. There was a lot of singles hit. It's hard to elevate. Jorge, his ball naturally has a natural downward plane, stands tall. And the thing there is, and I'm not a big fan of those type of pitchers usually, because they have to be almost perfect to avoid getting hammered in the major league.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I don't know why Chris Young is the first name that comes to my head, but he's kind of an over-the-top guy.
Right.
Same with Josh Allmenter, who's the over-the-top guy. I can't really come up with a good comp offhand right now, but he relies on up and down more than side to side. And in Double-A, they don't take advantage of those guys. In the big leagues, you've got to be near perfect to be able to do that. So I don't think over a period of time this year he's really ready to face a major league workload.
Does your gut say that he'll go to Rochester from here, or do you think he'll go back to Chattanooga for a little while yet?
This is a different situation than Randy Rosario. Randy Rosario needs Double-A. I like Rosario a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In Jorge's case, Jorge needs better, tougher competition. I think you can say the same thing about Steven Gonsalves right now. They're working on something, and you can see it from game to game. Like Jorge threw more breaking balls than I've seen him throw in his last start.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do in the minor leagues. You work on things. But I think it would be a benefit to him to get to the next level because he needs to figure out how to get out advanced hitters. You're in Double A. You have three or four pitches that you have fairly good command of. You're going to dominate. I read on Twitter people, celebrating the fact that he's getting all these strikeouts. And yeah, that's great. That's a good sign. But the thing is when it comes to the real time, his stuff is probably not good enough to get all those strikeouts.
So what do you make exactly of the jump, though, from last year with no strikeouts? Early this year, no strikeouts, but kind of a progression all the last 3 months. Do you think it's just a heavier reliance on the breaking ball or a sign of growth, a little bit of both, again, him just being a little old for the level? And I feel like you've touched on each of those, but your overwhelming feeling for him right now is what?
Well, if we go back to 2014 real quick, remember his Single-A his full season debut was horrid.
Mm-hmm.
It's just terrible. He's struggled going up to the next level almost at every point. So that needs to be a consideration when we're talking about his improvement this year. He's a guy that we all expect him always to do really good out of the gate. And some guys like Steven Gonsalves have been pretty good out of the gate in Minnesota or in Chattanooga. Jorge, it takes him a while to adjust. Last year, I thought that he was trying to overthrow the ball, and he was having trouble with his command. He was getting a lot of the fat part of the plate, and that's kind of what he's avoided this year. And it's something that cross-fired guys, they have a harder time staying with good command. Because their arm has to travel so much longer to get to home plate. It's an effective way to pitch, but there is consequences to that. His slider is better. I had it graded out as a in scouting, you use buckets, and the first in the buckets, like the current grade, and last year I had it at 35 current grade, mm-hmm. and then a future grade, and my bucket was 35-45, and I've kind of gone away from using fives now,
yeah,
trying to do 40s and 50s, but he's made a jump where I would say it's a 40, borderline 45 right now, mm-hmm. and I think the slider is a major league pitch, major league average pitch at maturity. So yes, there has been some upgrade in that. He even's thrown a few curveballs, and curveballs haven't been that bad at all. I'd like to see him throw it a little more. He does alter his delivery at this time, so if he brings a curveball to the major leagues, there's going to be a lot of hurt felt by Twins fans and Jorge himself. Mm-hmm. Because they'll catch on to that very quickly.
You got a couple minutes to answer a few questions about Chattanooga guys?
Yeah, sure.
Were you surprised Mason Malatakis was DFA'd and cleared waivers?
I am, but after the weekend, I talked to a scouting contact, and they said this is kind of the time of year to get guys through. Teams haven't made their complete judgments on players. They have gone through. Usually somebody bigwig in the organization has gone to each minor league spot because there's a lot of injuries right now. Not as many people are on 60-man DLs, and you can't, you know, the roster maneuverability right now is not as strong.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that a scout told me is who liked Mason, his team was very concerned with the velocity drop. I had him 89 to 92.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard reports, unconfirmed, that he was less than that at Rochester the last time he went out before. Were his designated for assignment. This year he threw three of the cleanest innings I've seen. But the thing is there's very little margin of error. He doesn't really change eye levels that much, and without the velocity, he's lost a lot of the promise that he had. I don't know if he's dealing with an injury or it's just that he hasn't come back from Tommy John like he wanted to.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. How legit is Luke Bard?
Of all the guys that I've seen, I haven't really had the best looks at Bard. I had one day where he was all over the place. The other team helped him. And then I had one game where it started to rain and I went inside. didn't really feel like dealing with the rain.
Sure.
The thing with Bard is the fastball is live, and that's the one thing that can be said about him. Mid-90s, brings the heat, but it's a live fastball, so it's hard to make solid contact against. The breaking balls, they're coming along. I might be getting him mixed up with somebody else. I think he kind of has a flurvy hybrid of a curve slider type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But on the spot, I like the fastball. I just need more time to really evaluate him.
How excited should Twins fans be about John Curtis?
I think he has a solid chance of maybe being a little bit of a setup man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little concerned. I think he lives too much around the strike zone. The fastball, it's got some velocity and some movement, but it's one of those things where I just don't believe in the breaking ball enough to throw anything more than a mid reliever on him as a progression or projection. I can't really see anything beyond that.
How soon do you think Steven Gonsalves gets bumped to AAA?
If I was the Twins, I don't know what they have him working on right now. I know that they've, with the injury situation in Minnesota, they might need that room for guys that they're going to use in the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And he may end up being in Double A the rest of the season because of that. Development's kind of funny. He can develop anywhere. And I'd rather him develop in a situation where he's in a learning environment like Chattanooga is. Right now, AAA is not necessarily the biggest learning environment. I'm just guessing there's a lot of arms down there that are major league pitchers or have been major league pitchers. Mm-hmm. You know, not looking at the roster, and the ones that are there are guys, there's reasons why those guys haven't been called up to face major league pitching. So, you know, I think it's comfortable keeping in AA. If it was my organization, I'd probably send him up to AAA for a little bit.
Is he genuinely fun to watch?
He's actually kind of, it's one of those things. I like boring guys. He's kind of boring. You kind of know, mm-hmm. you know what he has. I mean, there's not really you're not like, ooh, wow kind of thing. But it's the collection of stuff. And as his command has improved from last year to this year, you're starting to see some of the results, that it's just not guys swinging because he has three pitches and he's around the strike zone. Now it's more his stuff that's kind of taken him forward.
Nice.
To kind of finish that thought there, you know, it's okay to watch boring pitchers. If they're effective, they're effective. Looking at like a teammate, Fernando Romero, he's a fun pitcher to watch. He throws 95, 97, has a wipeout slider at times. You know, that's a fun pitcher to watch, but, you know, mm-hmm. teams need both of them. Teams need their potential aces and their potential number two and three starters. And that's where Gonsalves is. He's that potential 2-3 starter. He's that fantasy guy that you pick up in your fantasy league. You know he's going to strike out people. He's probably not going to be a all-star, but he's going to be solid for you.
Seeing anything different from Nick Gordon lately? I know he's going to be playing in the Futures game and all that, and he's getting some people excited, but how's he look to you lately?
Yeah, it's about the same. I think I was on here talking about how he just makes progressions, and he's become very smart during at bat. I think right now what he's working on in AA is not necessarily the bat at bat. It's kind of the fielding. His time at second base wasn't that great. He looked like a guy who hadn't played second base that much in his life, which is expected, and it's something the Twins fans shouldn't really be worried about. But he's been learning, and his footwork's improved around the bag. That's one of the notes I made this last weekend on a double play at coming from the shortstop position. He did a fine job with his footwork and making the throw and making a accurate throw to second base or to first base. So he's improving. He should be a full time all year in Chattanooga. Yeah. I don't know if Twins are going to do that, but that's what I see.
So, last thing I got for you, Nick Turley came up, didn't look good, but he was 95-96 from the left side, didn't have any feel for his breaking ball, and his location was scattershot. I still believe he can come up and be a super reliever, or at least help them as a long guy. Has anything changed in that respect for you?
No. I watched it. I had a Twins fan reach out to me. It might have been from my comments on Twitter, or my comments on your program, but reached out to me and said he sucked, and I was like, I didn't ever say he was a starting pitcher. I've talked to other scouts. Between a scout friend and mine, he's our little pet project.
Nice.
We love the guy.
I do too.
And we were waiting for him to get into the big leagues because we really believe it. That guy's scout told his organization, if this guy ever becomes available, we need to pick him up because he's a lefty out of the pen all day. And I'm not concerned. He was overthrowing. Mm-hmm. That's the number one thing. And if you're overthrowing your fastball, you're not going to get on top of your curveball. And him not getting top of his curveball, basically, it hurts him more than most guys because that's what he is, fastball curve.
Well, it's good to know that I'm not alone on that island because I took a lot of crap here in the Twin Cities for saying that he's still got a good arm and that he'll still help this team. But anyway, you've helped my team. You've helped my podcast today. I want to say thank you very much. C_blessing on Twitter. You can find him on baseballhq.com. It's Chris Blessing. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Can I throw one little pitch in real quick?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, my bosses would be upset with me if I didn't mention Baseball HQ has a First Pitch Arizona Forum, and we just opened up registration. It's a really fun time. It's November 2nd through 5th in Phoenix, Arizona. It's really good fantasy weekend. Mm-hmm. Get to talk to all these kind of experts. I don't really consider myself an expert, but I'm there.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of huge experts, names like Jason Collette, names like Eno Saris is usually there. All of the HQ writers like Jock and Brent, and just a lot of good. It's a good time, and I recommend it to anybody. So check our website, baseballhq.com, for more information.
You got it. Who wouldn't want to go to Phoenix in November? Thank you so much for your time. You've been listening to Midwest Swing, part of the Cole Omaha Podcast Network.